Now, this someone who says, well, sin, yeah, that's me. Righteousness, yeah, that's Jesus. Judgment, well, better watch out. Maybe better go back to righteousness. The Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How? Jesus. He is our righteousness, the Bible tells us. That's what he is. And we have that going for us. So we have Philip now. He went and found Philip in verse 43 and saith unto him, follow me. There's that word again. Well, I'm busy. Really? Follow me and I'll make you fishers. I'm busy. Got somewhere else to be. Got something else to do. Really? Okay. Disciples. Follow Jesus. Disciples. Share their faith. The Bible says that Philip, Samuel then, didn't he? After he followed in verse 44. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael. You just can't keep a good thing to yourself. You cannot. The reason we keep it to ourselves is because it's not so good sometimes to us. And the reason it's not so good sometimes is because we're not very close to him. That's the only reason, because when you're close, all you can see is this. When you stand back and see how people, you start getting worried about all those people around him who are frowning and acting like he's the, you know, the plague. And that's what the world does. You know, the world, the Bible says he came unto his own received him not. That's what happened. They hung him as it were between heaven and earth as if unfit for either, and they mocked him and they cursed him. And we ought not be in that crowd. We ought not let that kind of crowd sway us. No, the Bible tells us that his true disciples share their faith. And when he went and told Nathanael, the Bible says, he saith unto him in verse 45, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Now what's interesting about that is this is different than Andrew's testimony. Andrew's testimony was, I spent the evening with him, we talked to him, John was all about him, he says, personally, I found him. But here he's saying, biblically, he's the real deal. He was prophesied to be the guy. And Nathanael was a little more astute, so you got to go with Nathanael. So Nathanael was what Nathanael needed. And he knew that Nathanael was the kind of guy who thought about the Word and thought about things, and he gave him God's Word. He was obeying God's Word. You know what God's Word says? God's Word says he's going to send a Messiah. God's Word says the Messiah is going to die. God's Word says the Messiah is going to raise again the third day. It said it hundreds of years before ever Jesus was here. It said where he would come from, where he would go to. It said where he'd be born. Told us where he would do his ministry. It tells us who he would speak to. It tells us how he was going to die. It tells us how he was going to be buried. It tells us he was going to rise again. It told us that he was going to open the gates of the Gentiles who were non-Jewish people. I mean, over and over, boom, boom, boom. This is the one the prophets told us about. And that's biblical faith. And you know what faith is? Faith is a conviction of something. And when you really believe something, it changes you. When you believe, if you believe your house is on fire right now, you're not going to sit here listening to me. You got some bailing to do, amen? That's what I'm talking about, and I wouldn't blame you. In fact, we all might just adjourn right now and go get some buckets with you, if it were true. Because what you believe changes how you behave. And what you do, what you believe, changes where you're going to be at certain times. It changes what you're going to do when you're there. It changes your disposition toward other people. Because if you really believe there's a hell ahead for anyone who doesn't know this Savior who is so awesome and so absolutely in keeping with perfection, and he's the epitome of it all. He gives a gift. It's blood paid for. His blood was shed. He's the lamb that God provided, which no other lamb had to be offered. Now the death angel will pass over anyone and will fly the blood to their heart. He's the Lamb. And when you know it, it's awesome. And it changes us. It changes us, you know. I remember many times in my life where I've just been dead in myself and my heart, just devastated, decimated life. What I'm thinking of right now is when my wife broke up with me. Back when we were dating, we were all lit up about Jesus and let's do a fast. And we fasted and prayed. We were just so spiritual. Well, we had to put an end to that because after the seventh day, she dropped me. She dumped me. So we don't fast a whole lot anymore together. I had to get her back. Said, now here, have something to eat. Watch the car, come. Need energy to keep up with this old boy, I guess. The whole point is that detonated, I'm not driving around, tears falling out of my eyes. Just agony. God, what was that all about? What is going on? My heart is ripped. It's in pieces here. What are you, what's this? I thought she was my heart. I thought she was, and the guy's thumbing her eye. And I don't advise you to do this. Back in that day, I used to hitchhike before I got saved, so I thought, well, I'll pick him up. I was in that world that wasn't that long before, and I picked the guy up and started telling him about Jesus, and I felt better. Well, what's interesting is that I not only told that guy, but that night we had a college for a weekend at Liberty, and while I'm down there at college for a weekend, we had a kid in our dorm, in our room, and he was talking to me about something very close to my heart, which was rock music and what I thought about it, and this kid came to school a year later after that car, but God gave me himself. God was there when I was decimated. And he's there when you're hurting, when you're decimated. He'll give you something. You want to read about it in Scripture? Read about Diotrephes. Read about Gaius, who was devastated. And how John writes a letter to him in 3 John and says, Diotrephes loves to have the freedom. I don't know if he's putting people out of the church. He says, well, here's Demetrius, serve him, because you're a hospitality guy. You give hospitality, you'll feel better. You'll feel better. Do something for Jesus, because he will show up. And you start grabbing for something that's real. Something that's yours, something he gave you as a gift, and you start using that gift. You put that thing in circulation, and God will show up. Because that's what he does. So he gave a biblically founded testimony, a biblically founded faith to Nathaniel. Then Nathaniel comes along, and the Bible says in verse 46, and Nathaniel, actually verse 45, he comes, and in verse 46, Nathaniel says, "Is a good thing come out of Nazareth?" And he says, "Come and see." Where did he get that phrase at? Come and see, man. You got to see this. Woo! You aren't going to believe it. He's there. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord of all. He's life. He's real and all else is shadow. He's the bright spot when all else is dim. That's Jesus. Come and see. You're not going to believe it. Your heart will burn in. And the Bible says, and Jesus saw him in verse 47. He saw him coming, and he says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." He says, "How do you know me?" In verse 48, he says, "Because I saw you under the fig tree praying." He was omniscient God. Walking over here, but knowing everything was under control. It's all good. Had it all sustained, and he knew where Nathaniel was coming from. When he says he's a man who was in whom was no guile, it was because he just came from his prayer closet. And his accounts were correct. Any bitternesses were unimplied. He was coming to Jesus clean because he had a real faith that believed that God would forgive him if he just talked to him about it. He was like David, who could see past the law and see to the heart of God. Man after God's own heart. Here's a guy who knew God. And in verse 49, he says unto him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus said unto him, "Because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" He says, "You will see greater things than me." You see, what we see is Nathaniel's faith says this, "Thou art the Son of God." And what we have here is an experientially founded faith, because when God saves a person, it is personal. It is his very own way. My testimony is not like yours. And you can't argue my testimony, because I experienced it. Nathaniel knew his heart was bleeding under that fig tree, and nobody was around. He took great pains to privatize himself, and he was with God, and God just told him he was there. He probably prayed this, "God, deliver me from a guile in myself. My desire to be a hypocrite, my desire to be a just a false person. God, deliver me." And he says, "No guile. I didn't know. Because I heard you. And I am Son of God. Son of God." And his was an experiential response to faith. You got one of those. You might not know a lot of Bible, but you got experience. You might not know a lot of Bible, but you've been at church, and you've been in front of people, and you've listened to God, you've heard some stuff that He's just been nudging you to and convicting you on, and you've been, God's been working on you, and you know, that's yours. You want to get to biblical, but for now, just use what you got, but all of it is there. And somebody this week, maybe we can hear from you on one of these levels. And finally, true disciples see the future. That's true, isn't it? Do you see the future? Do you know we win? Do you know it? Because real disciples know this. You see, Nathanael's confession had a few interesting things involved with it. He says, you are the king of Israel. Not you will be. He said, you are. In his mind, he knew right away this was who we're looking for, and he knew Israel had a bright future because he knew his Bible. They were all looking for it, but Nathanael was all over it. You remember when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Mark brought this out in one of our fellowships line. He says, you know what? Nathanael said it before Peter did. You're the Son of God. And what we have here is him saying, the king of Israel, he saw what was going to happen. Now, it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime, but it's going to happen. The Bible talks about a thousand-year reign. It talks about Jesus coming in the clouds. It talks about him setting up a kingdom. It talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. It talks about the age thing being thwarted so we don't get old. We just live and bless and enjoy, and the child being 100 years of age, being able to be innocent for 100 years of age. How cool would that be? Says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Says he's going to set up a kingdom. He not only sees that, he says, you're the king of Israel. He sees his royalty, but he also sees his deity. Because Jesus tells him, he says, listen, you believe because you heard me and what I said about the tree. He says, but you're going to see greater things. You think that was good? You're going to see greater things than my omniscience being revealed. You're going to see me raise the dead. You're going to see me walk on water. You're going to see me raise myself from the dead. His deity. Nathanael believed him, and he started following him. He also says, you shall see heaven open. And there we see him seeing Jesus' intentionality. How? Well, do you remember the only place we really see in the New Testament heaven open? You could say the Transfiguration, but the one I'm thinking of is in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is being stoned, and he says, I see heaven open. And you know, there's another place in the Old Testament that's very close to this, where Jacob in Genesis is kind of fleeing the face of his brother, and at Bethel he laid his head on a stone. That's the reason the stone was a pillow was not because there was nothing else available. It's because God wanted us to remember it. He wanted us, who uses a stone for a pillow? Come on. When we remember, he used a stone for a pillow. Why? Because God wanted you to know heaven and earth are dynamically intertwined, and God is intentional. And he was intentional with Jacob. He said, I'm going to bring you back. And he's going to be intentional with every believer, because believers see that God's got something going on. And when you move out and you see yourself in pieces on the ground in the highways and byways of life, and then God uses you somehow, God opened the door for you, God moving your life, that's heaven opening up. I mean, it's good. But here's what's really cool. John chapter 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come and receive you to myself. That means that when you die, I've heard deathbed testimonies, but I don't know, I don't want to die, okay, not yet. I've got a little something more to do, but the fact is when I die, I just wonder. I just, maybe just before the door opens and there he is. Because he didn't send an angel for Stephen. The heavens open and I see the Son of God standing on the right hand of power, standing with you. Think about it. Man, he's standing in my honor. Stephen's honor. He will receive you. How cool will that be? How cool will that be? We see the future. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The Bible says that. And then finally, we see, he says, you're going to see the angels of God. And you know what that is. That's his accessibility. I see in this, we see his accessibility, because this angels of God thing is kind of put in its place when we go to Hebrews in chapter 1 or 2, where it says, he gave his angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of life. That his angels behold the face of the Father, and that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of the one sinner. Because they're going to come back and say, hey, got saved. And then God's going to light up. Even brighter, if that's possible. Joy in the presence of the angels. He changes not, but he displays to these angels joy. Man, if you've never read the Peretti books, I'll tell you what, they'll take you up a notch higher when you get to somebody getting saved and those this present darkness and piercing the dark. Man, go get saved. And then, woohoo, the angels just shoo right off and woohoo. And I remember one at the end where he's sitting down with his girl and the angels are kind of going down with a bottle and they're sitting on a tree and they say, just don't talk right now. I want to hear it again. I want to hear about Jesus again. I want to see the lights go on in this heart. Just don't look. Beloved, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the one whose blood was shed for us that we might have to shed our own. He's the one that when we deserve death, Jesus stepped up and said, take me.